Thank you for enlightening us. Like we discussed last time, every such association which we have, in every program, you know, even other than the main festivals, is also a festival. So, it is a very enlightening process, actually. Enlightening means injecting light into us. Because throughout the week, we are engrossed in all other activities. At least I can say for myself, as very seldom we remember Krishna. I mean, we try to, at least I very seldom. So, all our activities, many of our activities, are not in relation to Krishna. So, what happens? Like in this translation, we can see Sukadeva Goswami has put it very, very strongly that our this body, which is not acting in relation to Krishna, is a dead body. So by chanting, we are injecting life into this body. So this regular attendance on Saturdays and Sundays for programs is very important. So because this gives us life. So it keeps us charged throughout the week. So till we get the next charge again on the next Saturday and Sunday. We just reflect on what the verses we went through in this chapter. So Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit on what should the person do when he is on the threshold of death, like Maharaj Parikshit was. And this applies to every living entity. Parikshit Maharaj knew when he was going to die, but we don't know. But that doesn't mean we are not on the threshold of death. We are at any time at the threshold. We don't know what happens. Like once I was talking to Maharaj, Maharaj said, Srimad Bhagavatam prepares us for unexpected situations in our material life. So, that's why we must be in constant association of Bhagavatam, because this helps us to prepare for unexpected situations. And what's the worst unexpected situation that can occur? That is death. This is very certain. So Maharaj Parikshit knew, and he took the right action, and he showed us what to do. But we must not be, you know, they say ignorance is bliss. So we must, we are not ignorant anymore. We have got this instruction. So we must act on the instruction. We cannot be blissful, saying that death cannot come to us, but death will surely come to us. One day or the other. So he starts. So Sukadeva Goswami starts with the basic discussion about impersonal realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. And then later on, he goes on to talk about worshipping the various demigods for getting for fulfilling our various desires. But what does the Manishi do, that is a person with a highly developed mind, like Parikshit Maharaj, what does he do? Even if you have material desires, even if you want liberation and you want bhakti, Sukadeva Goswami has told, you must still worship Lord Vishnu even to obtain your material desires. So, such a man is said to be of, you know, has got a developed mind and is a person with a broad outlook without a deed. In 2311, Sukadeva Goswami then further goes on to say, yes, Bhagavata Sangata. He talks about pure devotees. Who is a pure devotee? A pure devotee is a person who has spontaneous attraction to the Lord and was unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how do we get this? By Bhagavata Sangrata. So that Shukri Goswami goes on to say. So you can see this progressing gradually in this chapter itself. Then further, he goes on to say, what are the activities of a pure devotee? A pure devotee is always engaged in the service of the Lord. And they exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. Prabhupada also says that this is also possible in the sadhana avastha to experience this bliss. So our duty is just to continue following the instructions, and the results we will obtain within this transcendental bliss, which we are always looking for. Then in the verse 2.3.13, the various qualities of a pure devotee are mentioned. That he is kind, peaceful, truthful, equable, faultless, magnanimous. The various qualities, and one of them I just mentioned, a balanced eater. So, I mean, though we eat prasadam, we are regulated. But we have to be balanced even by eating prasadam. Sane, mannerly, flightless, brave, sympathetic, friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Actually, we are so fortunate that we even have got all these qualities listed out for us. So we can focus on each of these qualities and develop ourselves. You know, as we do our service, we can say, you know, focus on one particular quality and see, are we really, you know, do we really possess this quality? One of the qualities is poetic. Of course, all cannot be poetic, but Shukadeva Goswami was the greatest poet, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest poetic contribution. We may not achieve this, but at least the other, rest of the qualities we can strive for. Then, topics of Hari are to be discussed among the association of devotees. Because association of pure devotees is not always possible, direct association, but only through the books, instructions. This way we can get their association. But another way of getting it is association with the devotees, with all the devotees. Whenever we come together, we discuss the glories of the Lord, we discuss the instruction of Prabhupada. And this way we can indirectly get association of the pure devotees. Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj set examples for us what we should do when devotees come together. So, this verse, Vayashaki Sri Bhagavan Vasudeva Parayana Gurudaya Gurudara Satam Sirdi Samadhanu. That means, Gurudaya means who is glorified by the great philosopher, that is Lord Krishna. So his qualities are discussed by the devotee, Satam, how in Samadhan, in association. So, then finally, Shukadeva Goswami contends, after giving us all this instruction, he contends our material endeavors, you know, for so-called material advancement and for prolonging life. We are doing so many things. He strongly condemns this in the next few verses. Then we come to, and he emphasizes the need to take up devotional service very seriously. And in this verse, he puts it down very, very strongly. He says that if you are not engaged in the service of the pure devotee, then you are as good as a dead body. And if you have not smelled the tulsi leaf on the foot of the Lord, then also you are a dead body. So this goes to emphasize, you know, this, how important this is actually. In this world, you know, like Maharaj tells us, you must attend Mangalarti regularly, every day. regularly. You know, there's an appointment with the Lord. You must do this. And he gives a lot of instructions. But we say, yes, Maharaj, we will do. And then next day, when it comes to actually doing it, again, we find the sleep is, you know, too overpowering. You know. So it doesn't, the realization has not gone in, actually. So we feel, yes, when Maharaj tells us, we feel, yes, everything is perfect, we must do it. But when it comes to actually doing, nothing happens. Nothing. And repeatedly this happens. We see even with our children. We give them instructions one after another, you know, we repeat it. They won't even hear it, you know. And then again when we keep on repeating, they say, what? Then, you know, then we have to again repeat. So then we, once we repeat, then they'll understand what we are telling them, but they won't do it. Again, continue repeating, you know. So this process of repetition is there everywhere, actually. Prabhupada tells us repetition is so important. You know, in every Prabhupada's effort, he's repeated, we see, what is this Prabhupada doing, you know? Like he told this in the previous verse, again he's telling the same thing, again he's telling the same thing. But it is required, actually. It is Kaliyuga, it is required. What is the children? We ourselves are like that. I mean, the children are a reflection of us, actually. So, we are doing this. This is like a Shudra mentality, you know? Shudra mentality. That mentality, only if we keep repeatedly telling and standing on the heads, you know, only then they realize what has to be done and what has got to be done. So here, Shukdev Goswami is standing on our heads, you know. You are a bloody dead body, you know. You are a dead body, you know. Please, wake up, you know. Inject life, you know. He says. Sabai Kursa Paru Dharmo Eto Bhakti Rajo Akshate, you know, Avai Kutiya Pratiya Hata He Atma Sukrati Vati. So very good, very nice, you know. But what's the use if it's not translated into action? He just read a, you know, Krishnamai, she just showed me one saying on the newspaper. Well done is better than well said by Benjamin Franklin. You know? So we must, finally, it's all action. We cannot just say it is nice and just imagine that we are doing the right thing. We are already advanced. We have done all these things. But actually, in action, nothing is coming out, you know. So in the mind, everything is going on. So finally, well done is better than well said. Actually. We always, so we just cut out that thing and we have kept it in our house to remind us constantly. So this, you need to get shocked into action. So you know, you're a dead body, you know. So you're useless. So this is the thing. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, dead body. Dead body means what? There is no life. Huh? And he talks about those and those how they are troublesome to other living entities. And here, Shukdev Goswami says, breathing dead body. That means, those who are not following the Lord, who are not following His instructions, are breathing dead bodies. You know, though they are breathing, they are still dead bodies. And they are causing trouble to the other devotees. The moment you don't follow Krishna, what do? You are falling into trouble yourself, and you can put others also into trouble. So that's what happens. So we are all, I mean, breathing dead bodies. If we don't follow Krishna, if we don't follow the instructions of His devotees, only this impure people, only impure people are affected by such situations. That means, Maharaj told us, those who don't chant, those who don't follow a pure devotee, they are impure and they are affected by such situations, by such disturbances, by such those who are roaming around us, you know. But if we chant, if we follow Prabhupada, if we follow our Gurudev, then we won't be affected by this situation. So death means there is no life. So how do we bring life? How do we bring life into this dead body?
means
that you must read Prabhupada's books. So he said, you must take, put the instructions into your head, you know. He said, put the instructions in your head. Yes, when you say does, put the instructions. That is what it means, you know. Surrender to the spiritual master. Put this instruction into your head. Follow it. That is putting the dust of a pure devotee on your head. Not just saying, give me some dust and all these things. You know? I mean, this doesn't mean anything actually. So, reading Prabhupada's books, this is the most important thing. This shows how much we are surrendered. And how much we are dependent on our Guru, on Prabhupada. So we should take our instructions to heart. That is when it means that we have taken dust on our head. So our level of devotion can be measured by how much we depend on the Lord and on His pure devotee. Our level of devotion can be measured by how much we depend on the Lord and His pure devotee without getting disturbed. Because what is dependency? We have to depend. And we discussed this yesterday also. What is the meaning of depending on the Lord? Not that we do everything whatever we like, and then when we get into a total mess, then we say, oh Krishna, you help us, you know, I'm depending on you to solve all my problems, you know. So that is not the thing, actually. Depending means what? Depending means we take His blessings, we take Krishna's permission before doing what we do. Depending means what? Before we do anything, we must think, what would we do if your Guru was with you, if Krishna was with you, what would you do? That is dependency. Then you take the right action. Then, as you do the task, keep remembering Krishna, keep depending on Him. Depend on Him before you do the task, depend on Him while you do the task, and after you have done the task, depend on Him for the result. So that is dependency, and that is devotional service. Actually. So this is very important to remember. This is putting the dust on the head of a pure devotee, taking His instructions to heart. So Prabhupada further goes on to mention in the purport that Lord Krishna is the property of His pure unconditional devotees. He's a property, isn't it? And as such, only these devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Suppose I go to a poor man or a beggar and ask him, give me $1,000. What can he give? He can give nothing. But if I go and approach, say, Lee Kuan Yew, so he will immediately, you know, give out from his pocket $1,000, immediately, you know. So this is the thing. So someone who has something, he will be able to give. If someone doesn't have something, what can he give? Only a pure devotee can give us the service of Krishna, the bhakti, the love for Krishna Lord. Because he has it. Only then, that's why he can give us. Only who has something, he can give us something. Otherwise, you can't get. And why should we approach? Why should we approach pure devotee? Because Krishna se tomara, Krishna bite paro, tomara shakti ache. Krishna se tomara, because Krishna is already His. Krishna se tomara, Krishna bite paro. He can give Krishna to us. He has the ability. Tomara shakti ache. Hey Vaishnava Thakura, the pure devotee, only he can do this. So, only he can give us. No one else can give us. And Krishna tells us, we must approach only a pure devotee. He says, someone claims to be a devotee, then he is not my devotee. He is not my devotee. But if he says he is a devotee of my devotee, then he is my devotee. That Krishna says in Adi Purana. So there is a verse. Yene bhakta jana partha, name bhakta chate jana. Mat bhakta nam chaye bhakta, teme bhakta tama mata. So this is what Krishna says. So we have to be a devotee of a devotee. So why should we go? We should go to Vaishnava Thakur. It's a very nice bhajan from Sharanagati. Shall we sing this bhajan? Hey Vaishnava Thakura, Doyar Sagara, Hita Sri Karuna Kori. Give me the faith. Devo Krishna Nama Gane. And most importantly, Krishna te to mara, Krishna ki te paro, tumhara shakti aase. So Krishna is yours. Krishna dite paro, you can give us the Lord. And you have the ability. So ami to sangala. Sangala means what? Sangal in Hindi. That means he has nothing. Nothing in your pocket. Nothing with us. Like our devotions are this. We don't have anything. Ami to sangala. Krishna Krishna bodhi. I'm just saying Krishna Krishna. Bhai to pache pache. I'm running after you. You must run. You must fall at his feet. You must plead to him. You should ask for his mercy. Then, once the devotees sees your sincerity, he'll be pleased, and then he'll give you Krishna. Bhai tava pache pache. Run after Guru Maharaj. Just run after him. You must not wait for the. We cannot wait for our Guru to come to us. We should go to the Guru. So another verse which tells us the importance of being the servant of the servants of the Lord, Dasanu Dasa, is a very beautiful verse in Mukundamala Sutra. Again, we discussed it yesterday probably. Verse number 25, in which Kulishekar Maharaj, he tells this verse. Vajjan manaha palam idamma nukaita vare Matpratanya madanugraha esha deva Matpratanya madanugraha, my prayers, my anugraha. I'm requesting. It's only this. What? Vajjritya vritya Paricharaka vritya vritya Vrityasya vritya Kitimam Maranotanasa. My only request is what? First vritya vritya Paricharaka vritya vritya Vrityasya vritya Kitimam Smaranotanasa. So what Kulishikara says, I want to be the servant of your servant, 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 of the service. So it is seven times you say. So I don't want direct service. I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So even in devotional service, a lot of times we feel, like we want, even if we do the smallest service, we feel we should be recognized, We want to be in the inner circle, taking decisions, doing things, being in the limelight. But you see, Kulishekara Maharaj, he's a king, He's a king. He's already getting everything. But in spite of that, he's rejecting all that. He's saying, Lord, I'm just praying to you. Give me your mercy. He says, please give me your mercy and consider me a servant of the 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 servant. He says, I want to be only that. Why? Because he knows Krishna, what Krishna has told us. He knows Krishna's instruction. Krishna said, a devotee, who is a devotee of my devotee, only then, I accept him. I accept his service. So Kulishekara Maharaj knew it. And he followed his instruction. So I'll just read out the translation. O enemy of Madhu and Kaitabha, O Lord of the universe, the perfection of my life and the most cherished mercy you could show me would be for you to consider me the servant of 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 the servant. So this is getting the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. This is the humility which we must have. So Krishna was served by Radharani and Lord Balaram and other gopis, and they in turn were served by other gopis and the manjaris, like this it went on and on, different. And in this, most recently Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he was served by the six Goswamis, then their disciples, there was Krishna Saviraj, and then so on and so forth up to Prabhupada, So Prabhupada was 11th in the line actually. So this verse, what it tells us, what's the importance of this verse? It tells us, it's an accurate description of our parampara system. We say parampara, so this is the parampara system. We get our knowledge through this parampara system. We get our service through this parampara system. It is not demeaning. It is not very, you know, it is not, putting yourself down by saying, you know, you are falling at the seat or taking the dust. You know, these things don't matter. Prahlad Maharaj said this to Hiranyakashipu also, correct? He said, unless one humbly serves the Vaishnavas and bathes in the dust of the lotus feet, one can never attain the devotional service to Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj also said this. So this puts the devotee in a very humble position. He wants to take that place below rather than to push himself forward. Push himself forward means in the sense of recognition or things like that, not in terms of devotional service. Some of us take a step back, you know, it's not like that. In devotional service, we must push ourselves forward, but in terms of recognition, we must push ourselves back, because all the glories are to the Guru and to the Lord. So this is what is important to remember from these great devotees. That means, we should not take any mark from whom he has told us, Trinavati Sumitena, Sarvavati Sarvishwana. These are all practical examples of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us. So in a broader perspective, we should serve not only the devotees, but we must serve all living entities. How? While preaching Krishna consciousness, by giving them Krishna consciousness. Bhuvi Grihanti is Bhurida Janana. We must give life to everyone. Because it's all dead matter, it's all dead. The whole, though appearing to be breathing, everything is dead. By, we have to serve the divinities by this. Then Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, you know, in the 11th canto, 14th chapter, 16th verse. Is it? Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyam virenudihi. I'll give the translation. With the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material world which are situated within me. So Krishna is telling this. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desires, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feeling of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. Correct? So this Krishna is telling himself that with the dust from the feet of his pure devotees, he wants to purify the material forms. He wants to purify. So, like what Maharaj said, instructions of Prabhupada. These instructions, the more we spread these instructions, we are also purifying the world. Just like what Krishna said, the dust, it is dust that purifies the whole world. And what he says, and what does Krishna do? He follows these devotees. And what qualities the devotees must have? Nirapeksham, Munim, Shantam, Nirvairam, and Samadarshanam. So Maharaj gave us one way of remembering this, you know. So I'll just share it with you. He says Nirapeksham. Nirapeksham means no expectations. No expectation from anybody. That's one thing which is surely to guarantee you peace. Nirapeksham. Muni means engaging in transcendental habits, so doing devotional service. It also means being silent. Silent about material things. Muni means silent. Nirapeksham, no expectation, meaning silent, shantam means peaceful, nirvairam means without enmity, and samadarshanam means equally disposed to everyone. So in this, Maharaj tells us how to remember these five qualities. If we have these five qualities, Krishna follows us, you know. We don't have to go, Krishna will follow us. If we have these five qualities, so no expectation, silent, peaceful, Then no enmity, right? Equal disposition to all. Krishna will follow. So Muni is silent, so take a S from there. And Shantam is peaceful. So take a T from there. So ST. ST is Srila Prabhupada. So Shantam. So silent and peaceful. And then there are three E's. No expectation, no enmity, and equally poised. Three E's. So Maharaj says, remember these. And these qualities if you have, then Krishna follows you. So again, so Krishna here again talks of the dust and of the lotus feet and what are the qualities a devotee must have. Then, now we said just now that in a broader perspective, we should serve the devotees and also other living entities by giving them Krishna consciousness. Now how do we serve the other devotees? How do we serve? See, all this is good, you know. Like Devi Prabhu says, we should not be the air, you know. We should be in the ground. Everything is in the ground. Bhagavatam is on the ground. It's not just we talk nice, very nice, and then we go back home, we learn a lot of things, and then we go back to square one, you know. That is not good. What we have to do is put it into practice. So, how do we serve our devotees? We serve the other devotees how? When we meet them, we talk about Krishna. How do we serve the other living entities? We talk to them about Krishna. How else can we serve them? By encouraging them, isn't it? By encouraging them in whatever service they are doing, we say, oh Prabhuji, very nice Prabhu, very good job. Whatever, even the smallest service, it encourages them. Everyone likes this, actually. I mean, even though we may say, oh, we are indifferent to all these things, we just want to serve the Lord, we're not expecting anything. But still, if someone tells us something good, we feel nice about it. You know? So that is encouraging, actually. So if we encourage like this, then it is good. We are serving the devotee. Because it encourages to serve Krishna. So, we are serving Krishna. We are serving the devotees. Then by smiling. Lot of times, we don't smile, you know. I mean, though knowingly or unknowingly, we just keep a long face like this, and then we just pass by someone and we do this kind of thing. But by not smiling, we are doing a disservice, actually. By smiling, it's a very small act, actually, very small act. They say, you know, the number of muscles used for smiling is much less than the number of muscles used for frowning, you know. So why not smile, you know? Exert yourself less, at the same time you give benefit to everyone. So smiling makes a world of difference. So first of all, you are recognizing the presence of the devotee. Second is you are endorsing whatever they are doing. Endorsing in the sense you are appreciating whatever they are doing. You know? So even if you don't speak, just a smile conveys the meaning. Just a smile. So it also means you are agreeing with this person, whatever they are doing. So smiling is so important. It makes everyone feel so good. It's enlivening. This also injects life. Smiling also injects life. That's the jivan, you know? By encouraging them, by smiling, by staying enlivened, by smiling ourselves and by being encouraged ourselves, by being enlivened ourselves, automatically it's infectious, it spreads to others. That's how we are all very happy in the program, because always people are smiling. Generally people don't talk of their problems. Problems will be there, you know. No one can be free from problems. But our focus should be one. It should be one-pointed in our devotion. Then these problems take a secondary place. They get automatically resolved. Because we don't need to worry about these things. You know, in Hindi they say, chinta mat karo, chintan karo. You know? They say, chinta mat karo, don't worry. You know, chintan karo, just remember me, that's all. Don't do anything else. Yeah? So then by having a helping attitude, we must help. Whatever service someone is doing, we must always help. We must see how we can assist the devotees. Say in this program also, if anyone is doing a lot of work, you know, sometimes we can request. If you don't know what we have to do, we can request. You know, if you can help, serve them in any way. So if we are helping them, then their burden is reduced, you know. They feel so much relieved. They feel so nice that someone is caring for them. So we are encouraging them in their service, and we are also serving. So overall, everyone is serving the Lord. So this is a nice way in which, this is the practical way how we put dust on our lotus feet. On our, not lotus head, I put on our head. So this is a practical way. By serving the devotees, we are serving Prabhupada, isn't it? So when we are serving Prabhupada, we are taking the dust from his feet. So this is a practical way we must serve the devotees. Then there is one more verse, very nice verse. Now, 4834, Narada instructs Dhruva. Guna dikhan mudham likse anukrosham guna dhaman maitrim samanadan vichche na tapaira vibhuyate. Guna dikhan means someone who has got a higher quality, is more qualified than us, who is very highly qualified. So what must we do? Use the modem, please, when we see such a person. When we see someone, guna dhaman, that means someone who is less qualified than us, we must be compassionate, anukrosham, we must be compassionate. Then, when we see someone who is qualified at our level, then what must we be? Maitri. Maitri in samana and vichhen. We must be friendly. So what happens with this? With this, we are never affected by the three modes. Neither are we put in misery, we are also happy, the other person is also happy, everyone is happy. Isn't it? Chant and be happy. So, he says, Gunadhikan mudam dikse, anukrosham, Gunadhikan mudam dikse, anukrosham gunadhama, maitri samana dan dikse, na tapay abhi bhuyate. So, this way we will not be affected. But what happens? Exactly the reverse happens in the material world. When we see someone who is highly qualified, we become envious. We are not pleased, we become envious. And when we see someone is less qualified than us, we are very happy. So this one guy I can teach, you know. I can give him instructions, I can follow this, you know. So we become very proud. And when we see someone equal to us, we want to compete. We just don't know, I want to be better than this guy, you know. So this brings misery not only to ourselves, and it brings misery to even the other person. Because why? Because the central point here is myself. I want to be more qualified. I'm better qualified than him. I should be better than him. I should do well. Everything I, myself, you know, I should do well. Whereas in the other case, we put Krishna in the center. So we are pleased. If someone is highly qualified, we are pleased that he is doing such a nice service. He is so qualified. Oh, he is such a great devotee. We are pleased. If someone at our level, we say, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada said, what did Prabhupada say about the competition? In the material world, we are competing with others. We say, I want to be more than this, I want to have more than this. Oh, he has a better car, he has a better performance, he has better this qualification. But in devotional service, we say, oh, how nicely is he serving. Oh, how nicely is he doing. You know, so this way we say, there is no competition. So we all try to serve nicely. So that's Prabhupada said. This is competition in devotional service. We just praise the other person. How nicely is serving. From the heart, not just lip service. And then, if someone is lower than us, we must be compassionate to them. That's okay. We must not discriminate. Then, this one. on, the next line in the translation, it says, and the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. There's a verse in 3:15:43, Srimad Bhagavatam. It tells the same thing about the four Kumaras. They go to Vaikuntha, and then Vishnu comes to meet them. So I'll read out the translation. But the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, the four Kumaras. They experienced a change in body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So this is the power of a pure devotee. So just the aroma of the leaf, it transforms their thinking from impersonalism to devotional service directly. So this is the power. So Tulsi Devi is such a great devotee of the Lord that the pure devotee has such potency to transform even the impersonalists. So this is what we must understand. That is why it is written, if you don't breathe the aroma of the Tulsi Devi, you are as good as a dead body. That means you don't have the association of the pure devotee. It is Kinjalika Mishra Makaranda Vayu. Kinjalika is from the toes. Mishra is mixed. And the air mixed with the aroma of the tulsi leaves. So when we enter the Kumaras, they became great devotees of the Lord. So I just read a few things about Tulsi Maharaj, very few points. So Vrindavan is completely under the control of Vrindi Devi. It's completely under the Vrindi. It is said that you can't even have access. It is not possible to approach Radha and Krishna without the blessings of Vrindi Devi. In Krishna Leela, she appears as a gopi friend of Radha, and she arranges the meeting between Radha and Krishna. So, in another pastime, it is said that Vrinda Devi, she offered all the forests of Vrindavan to Radharani. So, Radharani became Vrindavaneshwari. So once Vrindavan offered all the forest to Radharani. So she always in the service of the pure devotee, Radha. She is one of the gopis. So by rendering pure service to the pure devotee, then she gets the bhakti of Krishna. This one pastime of Tulsi Devi. She was born as the daughter of Kushad Dhwaja, and there's another demigod, Samudra. He had two offspring. One is Lakshmi Devi from the churning of the ocean, and Jalandhara. This Jalandhara was married to Tulsi Maharaj. And because of her purity and chastity, he got lot of strength. So he could defeat even all the demigods. You know, no one could fight with him. You know, he had that much strength actually. So because of the chastity. So once Lord Vishnu went as Jagannatha to Tulsi Maharaj. Because he defeated even Lord Shiva, Jagannatha. So things came to a crisis situation. So then as usual, Vishnu appears to dissolve the crisis. And he came as Jagannatha. So Tulsi, for a moment, she received him and thinking him to be her husband. So then at that moment she lost the chastity for a while. And then they the gods defeat Janaka. So because of this, then Tulsidevi, she realized this, she was very angry with Vishnu. And she told him, she caused him to become a stone, you know. So then Vishnu, he appeared as a stone, you know, Shaligram. In Nepal, there is a Shaligram. And, but Vishnu also said that you will appear as a plant, Tulsi plant, and you will give benediction, you know, to all the devotees. So, and later on, of course, Vishnu, you know, he got married to Tulsi Devi. So this is the thing, and that's how Tulsi Devi is able to give us this benediction, give us this devotion to the Lord. And she's always stuck to the feet of the Lord. You know, the Tulsi Devi is always stuck to the feet of the Lord. Even Lakshmi Devi, though she's the consort of Vishnu, she also goes here and there because the devotees ask for her, you know, they want Lakshmi, they pray to her, and then she leaves Vishnu and she goes to the devotees, to her devotees. But Tulsi never does that. Tulsi is dedicated to the feet of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. So that's how, you know, she's a pure devotee, and that's why she has the potency. So Lakshmi Devi is actually, they say Lakshmi Devi is jealous of Tulsi because she is always with Krishna. She is always at his feet. Yeah? Always. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. Yeah? And this is the meaning of the test from the feet of a pure devotee. So with that we will conclude. The point here, the concluding point is there in the purport itself. The conclusion is therefore that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be rewarded. That we saw, Shukdev Goswami said, the characteristic of a pure devotee is he has spontaneous attraction for the Lord and unflinching devotion. So this is the characteristic of a pure devotee. And to such a devotee, he must bow down to and take the trust in the Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any corrections or suggestions?
Thank you so much. Thanks for the nice chat. This was a good step. I need to illustrate but some people, especially in my days, they do Rata Yatra for Hanuma, even Madhva Sarai also they do. They celebrate Madhva Navami, they do some Rata Yatra. But they don't know who is the Supreme Person, they are all so. They just serve the devotees. Every year they do some Rata Yatra themselves. What happens if you don't know that, if you don't know who is Sri Krishna or God, you simply serve the devotee, not like
that. So the fact that they are serving the devotee, Hanuman is a very pure devotee of the Lord, and so is Madhvacharya, he is also another incarnation of Hanuman. The fact that they are serving the devotees itself shows that they are already great devotees. They are already devotees. So, and Krishna has given us the process. He has told us that we have to serve only the pure devotees, and that is the only way. Only the devotee of my devotee is a devotee. even he doesn't accept direct service also. He says, you serve my devotee well, and then you will become my devotee. So, by their serving, even if they don't realize in the beginning that they are serving the devotee, they are serving, they don't know the God, but eventually they will come to the realization. Because the pure devotee's mercy is always there. The pure devotee always knows who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Madhvacharya is the beginning of our sampradaya. Obviously, his instructions are, to develop devotion to the Lord. So eventually, when they go to the Lord, go to Madhvacharya, eventually Madhvacharya will give them the intelligence. He will give them the intelligence. Because we must always remember, Guru is different and the Lord is different. Yes, some people may have some different ideas, but eventually they will be guided. Anyone else? Can you say this?
Just one question. In this particular verse, there is so much emphasis on taking results from the pure devotees. And sometimes we see devotees fighting against us and all that. And even in Lord Chaitanya's past tense, we see the way the Srimad Bhagavatam says from other Chaitanya. So, what is kind of this kind of just taking literal leaders from set of the devotees? Does it help by any means in our devotee service? Or is just
this like dust, what he meant by taking the dust is that what Prabhupada said, instruction and humility. These are very important qualities in our devotee. Though you may playfully do this, taking the dust and all that, but the real thing is, the real quality you must have. It's not easy, to say I'm taking the dust from someone's feet. It is not very easy to do that. There's a lot of ego, in us, a lot of anger. So, it's not easy to fall at someone's feet and take the dust. You may be doing it playfully and, people are doing it, but you must, at the same time, you must realize that this is the humility which is important thing. This is the quality which we must develop in our hearts. That is the important thing actually. That is just, it's a metaphor, it's a metaphor. So it is just, not literally dust, but it is, you have to get that humility in your heart. So it is not easy to fall at the feet of any devotee. As long as we get this realization that we must be humble, and we must follow the our Guru's instructions, like Krena Gati Sunichena, only then we can chant constantly. Setting off of this to Krena Gati Sunichena, Karo Gati Sanishuna, Ramanina Maradena. We must give respect to all others without expecting any respect from others. Nirapeksha. Nirapeksha Munimshantam. Without expecting any respect. That is humility. That is taking the dust actually. So the significance is in the realization and not the real dust. So, only then we can chant the name of the Lord constantly. This is a very, very, in fact, it's a monopoly of a Vaishnava. Simplicity and humility. These are all the true Vaishnava qualities actually. And taking the dust means to be humble, to be simple. That is the Vaishnava quality. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Only if you have these qualities, you can chant. Only then you can do devotional service. So when we say the dust, it's the realization of this point that is more important than taking the dust.
Yeah, this talking it again is now. We have to be a little serious about what it means actually. Because that's what Prabhu was actually explaining very extensively on what is the meaning of this taking dust and everything. We should be very careful on what we meant by saying, going around, telling, jokingly, oh, I'm going to take it. This joke, you're going to make a joke out of this. Can you imagine, just imagine, Prabhupada, you know, you go around jokingly, I'm going to take the lotus feet of your, listen to his God brothers or whatever. I mean, it is ridiculous. You cannot imagine that he will ever do that. He will never do that because this is not joke. This is very serious. Because you are supposed to be, if you want to take the, I mean, genuinely if you think inside your heart that I want to take the dust of the lotus feet means, you should be meditating on that lotus feet of that particular devotee and thinking, my dear Lord, this devotee is so nice, so wonderful. How I wish I could get this. This means you are really having it in your mind and you are meaning what you are trying to do. Not jokingly. Jokingly wise, it's not advisable. It's because you are just poking fun of the whole issue of the lotus feet and the dust and everything.
My question is, mother asked Sister Tulsi is maintaining as long as she is safety and purity. Once she fall, love or something with Vishnu, then she lost her control, right? The first, even while maintaining purity and safety, she can tell even Lord Vishnu also. I'll ask one more question. Brahmacharya means Acharya means this is followed, right? So why this very name comes Brahmacharya? It is celibacy and purity. Is there any relation? How she got such power to even curse the Lord Vishnu? That is my question. And this, please relate this to pure devotee. Pure devotee, how it will relate? I think you got the question, right? No.
Can you answer this?
I've got three questions, sir.
Three questions,
yeah.
What's the first question?
Okay. One is how she could get the power to curse Lord Vishnu himself. Then the second question is
system acharya, which followed Brahma. He shows the path. Then why the name came very Brahmacharya? Is it purity or celibacy? Brahmacharya means which is followed by Brahma, right?
Yeah.
So Brahma itself is a married person. How does the very name come Brahmacharya? Is it celibacy or purity?
I don't know the origin of this word. The only thing is, I know is, yes, you know what should be done in a Brahmacharya ashram. So in fact, all this ashram system has been created by the Lord actually for us eventually to progress to devotional service. Eventually, all the ashrams are created by the Lord and rules are prescribed to eventually attain devotional service. Even Brahmacharya ashram, it prepares us for sannyas and eventually direct, finally service to the Lord. So this is the purpose of creating the ashram, because all of us are not, already very spiritually developed or highly spiritually evolved devotees. So this system has been created for people like us who can progress systematically and gradually to that high stage. Yeah. So I'm not very sure about the origin of this world. If someone else knows, please enlighten us on this. Brahmacharya. So he says, but he's asking, is this Brahmacharya? Brahma is himself.
Brahma is not man. Brahma is a celibacy.
Celibate.
Celibate. Arasvani has nothing to do with the consort, but it's not.
As far as the Brahma is concerned, this word Brahmacharya is more on celibacy. There's nothing to do with this. And talking about Brahma, and he is married, no, he's not, he's a consort. Consort is Saraswati, but Saraswati is not his so-called, his consort in the sense that you know that Brahma can be also Lord Vishnu. At the time when there is no qualified Brahma, to qualify to become a Brahma, a linearity may not be there. In certain yugas, in certain universe. So at that time, Vishnu will assume that form. He will take on that job as well. So, therefore, Saraswati is actually none other than Vishnu's wife. Saraswati is actually Vishnu's wife. And that was in the past time where, Tulasi Maharani, Saraswati and Lakshmi, three of them, actually all are in this consort. But somehow or other, they became, they were envious, how come, Vishnu is having three wives? So I have to, so therefore, there was a big competition among themselves. So finally, they cursed one another. They cursed one another, all three cursed one another, and that is how finally what happened was when Vishnu came to know, that is Lord Narayan, when he came to know, what is this? My wives are all fighting with one another and they have cursed one another, so therefore the curse had to take place because they are equally powerful also. Then the Lord said, alright, fair enough. So let's see, you will take in order to fulfill that curse, you will come down to earth and be the Tulasi Swan. You will become Swan and you will bless everybody, all the devotees there, but that's now over here. Saraswati, Mother Saraswati was also cursed and she became become a river. So she became the holy river. And after that, when she disappears, she will become also the Brahma's consort. But she is actually, and then later, after everything, the annihilation and all, she will go back to So as far as Brahmacharya is concerned, it's celibacy, it has nothing to do with this thing. Even if you compare with Brahma also, he is still celibacy. He is known as. That is why you see Lord Brahma is creating, right? Initially you will see the creation when he started off with Lord Brahma and he is proud of. And then he creates the various munis and all. He doesn't create with the help of Saraswati. Saraswati doesn't give birth to all these progenies. Because why? It has nothing to do with that. So he himself can create within his mind, his hand, his leg, his face. So therefore, he has nothing to do with that. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhupada. I hope that is clear. And regarding the poor Tulsi's curse, in fact, in the previous yuga, the people, because of their purity, you know, whatever they said actually happens, you know. Because of their purity. During Kali Yuga, we are all so contaminated, so fallen, that whatever we say doesn't have any, you know, nothing happens. Even if we forget saying, you know, even if we do something, nothing happens. So, forget saying, you know. So, in those yugas, the stages are not, even if they think, something is to happen. So, thinking, then saying, and not even doing, nothing happens. So, that is the thing. So, it's just that Kali Yuga is so degraded, that our job is only to chant, and that's the only way we have. There's no other way. Only chanting has power. It will put life into you. That's all. But what Tulsi Devi did, that's because of her purity and purity of those times when she was there. Actually, and whatever they said, it had impact, potency. You know? But then, this is not possible now, and it's not possible for us to conceive now. But it is a fact, and it is there in the Shastra, so it's a fact. Any other questions? No. So we come to the end. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Gurudev ki.
Anand Koti Vaishnava.